Hello, my name is Carol May Wittick and welcome to Her Conversations, Tools for the Awakening Woman. HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. This is the optimal state to embody in order to attract our highest desires. And who is the Awakening Woman? She's a woman who's seeking a greater possibility in her reality and looking for solutions. She knows being awakened is not a lofty ideal, but a necessity. If she can transform herself, she can change the world. Her conversations will introduce you to talented women who will speak to your spirituality, sensuality, and soul. They share their stories and explain how they are in service to the world. So let their words and these conversations embolden and inspire you. My guest this week is intuitive life strategist Lorraine White. She specialises in helping her clients, who are mainly heart-centred coaches and therapists, gain clarity about their unique soul offering. Using a blend of numerology and astrology, Lorraine is not only able to identify the specifics of their talents, but then also direct them towards their individual audience. In our conversation, she reveals what particular numbers show her whether someone is suited to a life of an entrepreneur or service, how effective changing our name is when we want to create a shift in our lives, and also what to consider when naming our children. And of course, there is so much more. So to start the episode, I do as I always do in these conversations by asking my guests. HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. When do you feel at your most HER?
I am most HER when I am doing the work that I was born to do. I am most HER when I'm working with clients, helping them to fulfill their calling and to be aligned with their purpose. And when I'm able to give them breakthroughs to help them to realize, well, what's stopping them from really fulfilling their calling, that's when I feel most HER, because that's the work that I was born to do, because I feel it and that energy is always, you know, so high frequency. So yeah, that's when.
Perfect. And everyone has a journey that gets them from where they were to doing the work that they're doing now. Can you tell us a little bit about your story? How did you get to do what you're doing now? What did you learn along the way that's given you these tools?
Okay, I love this question. So I would say, when I really think about it, from a very young age, I've always been that person who has always done something for a reason, or I've always wanted to know why I'm doing something. I love to have fun, I do, but I also love to, you know, do something that has a purpose. And so I think when I was starting out as a young person after graduating from university, I then went into recruitment because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I knew that I wanted to help people, and I knew that I wanted to help people develop and to become the best version of themselves. And I chose recruitment as a vehicle to do that because, yes, it was giving me a lot of money at the time, which I needed, being a kind of broke graduate, as most people are. But for me, it was being able to help people who were unemployed to get work that they wanted to do. And I put my heart and soul into it, and I was very successful at it. And my whole career, up until, you know, kind of 10 years in, that was what it was about, helping people to develop. So I did recruitment and I went into HR. And then the crisis point hit me when I got divorced and I lost everything, because I was previously running my own recruitment company, doing everything myself. And I got divorced, my recruitment company went pear-shaped, lost all the properties, lost all the wealth that I had accumulated, everything was gone. But it was within that period that I really found meaning. It was like I was searching for, why did that happen? You know, it's like I lost myself for a bit, and I had to search for that meaning again. And in that journey, that's how I fell into working with people one to one. In fact, people just started to come to me. I just started to attract people who wanted help with their job, with their business, wanted to know how they could really develop themselves. It was as I was going through that journey, I was helping people to go through their journey. but I wanted to kind of take it to another level. So I actually fell into astrology and numerology because I wanted to understand myself and understand it from a spiritual perspective. What was this really about? And so it was in numerology and astrology that I found meaning. And it helped me to understand myself on a deep soul level. So I understood why I had suddenly had all this success. It had gone. And then why I was in this situation, what I had to learn. It just all made sense to me. And I used that process to help myself to get back to myself and to get back on track and to really create another business where I'm helping people, helping coaches, helping therapists to do the same. And that's really how it kind of worked organically. It wasn't like a plan. That's how I fell into it. And so now I help coaches and therapists to create an authentic business that's aligned to their unique soul purpose using astrology and numerology alongside modern business solutions, which is my background being in business and being successful in business before. So yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell.
That's great. And it's so unique as well. It's like, can you explain, if someone came to you, what is it that you're looking at? What specific numbers are you pulling on, and how do you know which number gives you what message?
Okay. When I see someone, everyone is unique. And I try not to look for certain numbers because I do have more, I probably do relate to some numbers more than I do others. Mm-hmm. But every person is like a puzzle. They come with a whole series of different numbers because the whole the form that I use in terms of the numerology, the methodology that I use in terms of the numerology is very different to traditional numerology. So it's based on Hebrew numerology. So it's like a chart that's produced from your birth name that give me a whole chart of like seven numbers. And so that combination of different, that combination of numbers is different for everyone. And so everyone is a puzzle. The numbers that I tend to attract are a lot of sevens. And the sevens are about people who want to come out in the world and open their heart and be really true to themselves, really be, you know, share their story to the world. The sevens are people who really, it's like when I see a seven, I know they're going to do well in this arena because it's like they're able to be open-hearted, and it's your heart that will attract people to you. It's your heart. It's you know, contrary to what people may be saying in terms of, you know, it's mindset or whatever, it's actually your heart that attracts business, attracts success. And that's the seven. That's what the seven represents. I don't have any sevens. I have another number in my chart, a 13-4, which is about unconditional love. That's the other number that I do love to work with. But I do attract a lot of sevens. I attract it, and I've grown to love it.
And so is there a way, so what would you say would be the difference from the numerology that you use to say the Hebrew and the one that maybe we're more familiar with for anyone who's familiar with, even on a basic level of numerology and kind of like the chart and your name and your letters and so forth?
Yeah. Well, the traditional numerology that most people are familiar with, usually it's like you have one number, you have a life path number, or you have your personal life path number, you've got your personal life path number, your personal year number, and there's another number that it's all like one number, which you can tell a lot from that one number. Mm-hmm. Whereas with my with the system that I use, there are seven numbers, and those seven numbers are divided up into what your challenges are, what your unique talents, abilities are, what your goals for your soul are, and what your purpose is in the center of that chart. And then we've got, it's divided up into two sections. So you've got your worldly experience, which is from age 0 to 35. And then your spiritual experience, which is from age 35 to and above. So it's kind of split. So you've got your challenges, your unique abilities and talents, and your goals, which are which apply to both your spiritual and your worldly experience. So that's, it's a bit more comprehensive, a bit more in-depth, and I feel like we're able to get a lot more information as opposed to just working with that one number. But saying that, I do still use those numbers to help me to give an overview of that person. So when someone does come to me, I will add up their date of birth, their month and their year. I will do that to get their personal number, because it just gives me like an overview of what they're about quickly. And I do look for certain numbers that I know are like master numbers. Mm-hmm. So if I get like a 33, a 22, an 11 as a result of the date of birth, adding up the date of birth, I know that I'm dealing with someone who's quite spiritual, who's here to really make a difference, someone who is really committed to their calling, because that's what a master number is. I'm actually a 33. So and that really helped me to understand, why am I this way? Why is it that I cannot feel okay about just being conventional and doing what everyone else is doing? Why is it that I want to actually make a difference? Mm. That's my 33. So I look for those master numbers in other people as well.
Yeah. And as well, I can remember when you did a reading for me as well, and you were looking at and bringing things up. It was nice to have someone actually be able to just kind of see aspects of your personality that many people would not really recognize, especially from the point of view of being more entrepreneurial minded. You know,
yes.
It's like, you know, that's one of the things that I've always felt, a rebellious kind of employee when I've gone into employment situations, because I've just not been able to remain within that structure for too long, because either I'll see things that need to be done differently, or I've just been, you know, just wanted to break out of that situation because it's felt so restrictive, you know.
Yeah.
But so many people are able to last within that situation.
Yes. I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's your 10-1. And that's the other number, actually. I do enjoy working with 10-1s because they are the healers of the world, you know. And so they are, again, very spiritual and cannot be easily influenced. They're very much connected with their divine source. So that's why, with, as you've said, with the 10-1, that they cannot go easily be employed by other people, because they just know too much. They're connected to their own spirit, their source of who they are, you know. So nobody can really influence that. And I love working with that 10-1. And yes, there is a rebellious streak, but I love rebellious.
They're the ones that make the difference ultimately, you know.
That's
the ones
right.
That stand up and go, actually, the emperor doesn't have any clothes on, guys, you know.
Yeah.
points out what everyone chooses not to see, really. And sometimes it can be, I remember when I think about the times that I've been in employment, and it wasn't until, I think it was 2009, where I literally got spat out of the matrix, when it's like, you're being made redundant. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
I was not sad about it by any means at all, you know. It kind of worked out for me that year, because I had a tax return and I had redundancy, so I didn't really have to rush into anything.
Yes.
So it wasn't like I was kind of thrown out and go, what am I going to do? You know, I eased myself into working out how to be self-employed, which that in itself is something to learn, coming from an employment mindset, an employee mindset background, you know, where everyone's like, well, you know, what are you going to do? You need to get a job. I'm like, no, I just need to get some money. I don't need a job. These are different things.
That's exactly it. It's a real transition, actually. It's a real adjustment for many people who come out of that corporate setting and now want to be self-employed. It's a whole, there's so many different things, even down to, you know, what do I call myself? Because they've been used to being called something. They've been used to be having a certain role within that environment. So now they're self-employed. It's like, you don't have to call yourself something, you know, so you don't have to have a label, you know, that's down to you. You know, it's little things like that, you know, that you have to adjust to. Who am I? What am I going to, you know, call myself? You know, that type of thing, as opposed to I have to fit into a box, a certain box.
And it's the freedom, I think, that most people are unaware of how much freedom you've got. Because if it's one, the money's not going to hit your account on the 25th of every month. So you yes. have to get used to that. But there's no reason why it can't hit your account 3-4 times a month if you start doing different things. So
yeah.
it can come in a different way. It's
That's right.
getting rid of one process, but open it up to it turning into whatever you like. And once you've got that, then you have to be on your toes, but it's a freedom of not becoming complacent.
Yeah.
You know, and being, yeah, I it's the best thing, because otherwise you stay in a job too long and you start to get petty about the printer and
yeah.
That's why how I remember my last job. I think everyone needs, like I say, everyone needs purpose of some sort, and you need yeah. some sort of goal. You need purpose. And if you're in a job that you don't like, you'll find purpose in the fact that that is your printer and that yeah. is your stapler.
Because that's right.
it's just human nature, isn't it? So,
yeah.
But just talking about... in terms of, like, you know, you're saying, like, naming things like your businesses and your personal names and everything like that. How do the names that we have, or how, if we're looking at our names or our numbers and they don't kind of veer into something that's aligned to what we want to be or that's going to serve us, how much difference does it make if we choose to actually make our name, even though we've been given one thing at birth, or our business is named something?
Okay, when you change your name, you do change your path a little. But when people come to me, for instance, and they have changed their name, I usually still work with the original name. Excuse me, because the original name is like the cake, and your change of name is like the icing on the cake, but you're still going to be heading to the same place. It's just you've got to do it in a different way. And I'll give you an example of this. Like myself, my name, Lorraine White, the surname is not my original name. But I changed my name before I even knew about this whole system. It was very weird. So it was like Spirit just gave me this name to use. And so, but when I did the numerology on the name that I use, Lorraine White, it's actually a very powerful name, whereas my original name is very powerful too. It's very kind of, it's all about, it's somebody who is here to really make a difference, but to do it in a way to help people to feel seen and to feel recognized, to feel acknowledged. That's what my original name is about. But I've put my new name, Lorraine White, although it's not new, but the White, let's say, makes me able to achieve that quite more effectively. Mm. Okay, that's what that name does. It helps me to still keep that essence of who I am, but I'm able to go out and fulfill my purpose more effectively, more powerfully. And that's what it does. But I'm still heading to the same place. Okay, and that's how it tends to work. You may hear people say otherwise, but like you can change your path. But from what I've seen, I don't see that. I see, because when I see someone psychically, before I even look at numbers, I can usually tell what's going on with them, and I can see something in them. I can see, you know, what the original name is, but I can see it without having to look at the numbers, if that makes sense. And that's, I can actually feel numbers in people because I've been doing this for so long. I can look at someone, I say, that's a 5, she's got 5, she's got a 7, she's got an 8, whatever. I can do all of that. And that's because I'm feeling it psychically. So I'm thinking that when you change your name, something you can't hide. Because the essence of you when you came into this world is still here. Mm-hmm. Do you know?
And then, so even if you get married then, so if you took on like a married name or if you're, if you took on a married name as well, or if you hyphenated your name with that, would that make a difference as well? So you kind of invite something in by choice instead of you're not changing your name, but you're changing your role perhaps. Would that change?
Yes, it can change. It can just change the way that you do you, I'd say. I said it doesn't change you, it will change the way that you do you. So and when you are getting married and thinking of taking on somebody's name, I would say that you really don't do that lightly. in terms of, you know, really feel, is that the right name for you? Just sit and sit with it and feel, is that the right, does that feel right to you? I know it will be new and different anyway, because it's a new name, but really just give yourself some time, and because you don't have to change your name, you know, sometimes it is a good thing, but really just sit with it. You know, it really just depends on the name. It depends on the numbers that that name will give you. But yeah, for those of you who are not able to really do that, you know, go and search up what the numbers are for your new name. I would say just sit with that name for a while and just feel whether it feels right to change your name. Because, you know, intuitively, a lot of time you will know.
And the same way as well, if someone is, you know, they're planning a birth, or they've got an imminent birth of a child, what would you, is there a way that they could almost like set the path for that child? I know like souls come in individually and they've got their own thing, but is there a way that you could kind of set that child up for,
okay,
you know, by choosing their name and kind of being really specific about the name that you would choose to give that child?
Okay, now this is where morals come in, because again, I know people doing this kind of work who will literally choose a name, work out a name that's going to be so that this child has a perfect life or near perfect life, or, you know, and I actually, although I know what I know, I actually disagree with that whole process. Which again, a lot of people will be thinking, oh, hold on, you know, but I disagree with it, because again, a child, before a child is born, they will give you their name. They will psychically give you their name. And it's for you to be really in tune with that child, because that soul wants to experience something specific in its lifetime. And it's for you to honor that. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that you know, once you've got that name, maybe you can play with it or add in another name. But just listen for that name. What is the name that feels right for you, as opposed to you going and looking at your numbers, or even going to somebody, because this is another service that a lot of people offer. They do baby naming. You know, but before you do that, I just would advise you just to really just feel what that name is. And sometimes that name doesn't come until last minute. And again, I'll share another story with you. I've got three children, three boys. With my last boy, Amari, 11 years, he's 11 now. When he was born, well, when I was pregnant with him, rather, I had this name in my head that I wanted to name him. His name was Daniel. He was going to be Daniel. Daniel was the best name. It was like Daniel, because I knew I was having a boy. Now, when he was born now, when I literally gave birth to him and they placed him on my tummy, he looked at me and it was almost like he said to me, "Mummy, my name is not Daniel." And the disappointment that I felt in that moment, you know, I was disappointed, but I took that on. I said to his dad, I said, "You know what? His name is not Daniel." And the thing is, his dad is not that way inclined. His dad did not even question me and say, "You know what, Lorraine, you know, this doesn't, you know, you're going off your head," type thing. He did not even question me. He said, "Okay." It's like he knew as well. And I said, "Please, can you go off and find his name?" I just sent him off. I had every faith in his dad to go and find his name. And his dad went off and came back the next day and he said, "Amari." And I'd never heard of that name in my life, never heard of that name. I only know Amari's now since I've had Amari, but I never heard of the name Amari. But it was almost like that name was channeled to him, because he had not heard of the name either. But he went off and just found the name. And I said, "That's his name." And his name is Amari Daniel. So we gave it as the middle name. Yeah. But it's since having that experience, I always know that there is something more to this. It isn't like you just, you know, create somebody's name, a baby's name. It's feeling. And when you speak to other parents, you know that they can identify with this experience, because it's almost like when they get the name, it's like they feel the name. and both parents feel it. It's not like one is, you know, usually both parents feel the name because the name has been channeled to them. Yeah. And so this is why I kind of disagree with this whole idea of going out and making this name, giving this person this name for this specific purpose, because that soul has come in for a purpose and you've got to honor that soul.
That's amazing. I never knew there was a service like that, but I suppose there's a service for everything. You know, if we've got these tools now, why not create a specific baby naming service to make, you know,
yes,
give your child the best life, you know. But it's interesting about that, and interesting as well, because even though I've not had any children as yet, I've always had in my mind like a couple of names circling in the back of my head.
Okay.
Of what I would possibly choose to them, more so girls than boys, actually, because I've always been like, I wouldn't know what I would call a boy, really. But there's always been like a couple of names that have been circling in my head. But having said that, also, it's interesting, like you say, as soon as I look at you, you're going to know.
You will know. Yeah. And I do feel like if they're going to change their name, let them do it.
Mm.
You know, like I've changed mine. Let them do it at that time, because they, when they're in touch with themselves, with their soul, their soul will give them another name as time goes on. Or, do you know, let them do it. Because I know another person who he was given a name when he was a child, named, and he didn't like his name. And when he went to school, he was five, he would not answer to this name. And then his dad said to him, what do you want to be called? And it was just a shortening of that name.
Yeah.
And so from that day on at school, they called him a shorter version of the, sorry, I can't say the name because they'll know who it is. I'm sure they don't share. But, but they called them a shortened version of that name. And that's how that they're called sort of now, and this person is now in their 50s.
Yeah.
So you know, let them decide, let that soul decide.
That's interesting, especially when it seems like there's like a period where everyone's all girls are being called a certain name. You know, when I was at school, it was like there were lots of Catherines and Louises around as well. Kate's, Catherine's, Louises,
and Claire's and Sarah's.
Yeah. And they just all seem to be the same thing. So it's interesting that it goes in cycles as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that as well.
And what would you say to that as well? Because if there's so many, there's a period of time, I think we've been going through a lot of lilies and poppies and things like that. Is that the parent just seeing that there's more souls that need to be of that name, or are they just kind of not in tune with that level of awareness?
I would actually say that is, that's because I think now we're in this creative time. Mm-hmm. We're in this creative, like we're in the age of the age of intelligence, or the age of information. Other people will call it different names, but basically what this whole age is about is being kind of uniquely you, being, you know, being ourselves, because there is so much information, there's so much out there. It's like, you now you've got to stand out. And I feel like when it comes to naming babies, people are going to be more open to Poppy, Lily, Peaches, or whatever, you know, as opposed to how it was back then. So, and I feel like we are actually seeing more creative souls come through. And so that name is probably coming in more, you know, Poppy, Lily, Dream, you know, that kind of thing is all coming through now, because these souls are getting ready for this time, this creative time that we're in, to take us to another level. So,
and a lot of moon based names as well that I'm noticing in girls, like sort of Lunas and Layers.
Okay, yes,
lots of moony type names are around as well. So
yeah, and they're quite high vibrational names as well. The frequency is quite high, so yeah, it's interesting.
It is. And just coming back to numbers as well, is there, you know, you look at numbers, and we hear a lot about angel numbers and like what's a good number, or like Friday the 13th and this is a good number and that's a bad number, and 666 and all that.
Yeah.
Are there good numbers and bad numbers? Where does the fear around certain numbers come from? I mean, I have my conspiracies about certain things, but I'll let you talk.
Okay, well, I don't think there are good or bad numbers, because every number has like a spectrum of positive and negative. So it's how you want to view that number. Like, for especially in the system that I use, we have certain numbers that are perhaps that are in challenges that can also be in talents, you know. So if I take, let me just think of a number. If I take the number 9, I'm being drawn, maybe because you're 9, you've got 9, haven't you? So if I take the number 9 on the negative aspect of that spectrum, it's going to be disempowerment. But on the positive aspect of that spectrum, you've got empowerment. Okay, so it's like that's what that whole number is about. That's the whole theme of that number. So there isn't really a good and bad, unless you're going to pay more attention to the disempowerment than you are to the power, to the empowerment. Do you know?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say there are good and bad numbers. In terms of like people having suspicions about numbers like Friday the 13th, for instance, again, I'm not sure, that must come from something in the older days. I haven't done any research on that. But again, 13 is actually a number that represents love. It's 13-4 in our system, which is about unconditional love. So it's not, again, that's not a bad number. So, I don't know where a lot of that comes from, but I think it's because you can be quite superstitious, but it's kind of now sitting back and saying, well, how does that number make me feel, you know, bringing it back to yourself, do you know?
Yeah.
Do definitely. I feel comfortable, you know?
Yeah, no, I think I like, I don't even have a favorite number. I don't think there's numbers that kind of turn up, but
yeah,
I don't, some people like stick by a number and staunch behind a number, but I don't necessarily have one or the other as well. And just in terms of our environment, would you say there's numbers that we should be aware of in our environment, as you know, when you're looking
at that? As there are the angel numbers, as you pointed out before, like the ones, the double ones, triple ones, triple twos, you know, all of that. And I would say, when you keep seeing a specific number all of the time, to take note of what that number is and even look it up, because that is maybe spirit connecting and speaking to you. I do believe that. A friend of mine actually says to me, when she's driving, if she sees number plates, like similar numbers coming up on number plates when she's driving, she'll go away and look that up and see what that's about, because that's a message for her. Because for some people, spirit will communicate with you in certain ways if you're open to it. Mm-hmm. So if numbers is a form of communication, so you know, I for me, numbers, but also birds. Oh. Birds are my communication. So if I see a certain bird all the time, I see a few birds, like the other day I'm walking along, I'm seeing 3 robins. I don't see robins. You know, I'm thinking, okay, what is this about? You know, so, and it's always positive, you know, it's always good things, but because spirit will communicate with you in different ways. So it's really just being open.
That's good as well. Oh, I didn't know that about you and robins. That's cute.
Yeah. I get robins, magpies, you know, I get all of that kind of, and they just show up, and I'm thinking they show up in the most odd places. You think, okay. You know.
Salute your magpies. You know, that's what we had, that little thing at school. Salute Mr. Magpie.
Okay, no, I don't. When I see one of them, I think, what is this? Like, I had a situation the other day, and I was walking home, and this magpie just came into my path. And I thought, what's going on? Because they do warn me. One magpie is a warning for me about something. And so I get home, and there's this person who I won't name, whom is waiting outside my house. And, you know, our relationship is not great. And but it was like warning me that this person was, or somebody, something is, you know, there. And so that's how my birds communicate with me.
That's so beautiful. Mine's butterflies. I like.
Oh, lovely.
Butterflies everywhere as well. So I've got like phone case butterflies, and I found like a random picture in Oxford. I'm looking at it, actually. It's probably not even the most gorgeous. It's not even it's not even like the most high art of anything, but I was walking down the road, and it was, I think it was a Sunday before I actually started to record the first interview for this series.
Okay.
So I'd kind of gone out and I was just like getting ready for everything, and I'd been doing all this research, and then it was like, okay, we need to get ready for that. And I was just walking past a secondhand shop, and I walked relatively quickly, and then I just literally stopped in my tracks and just went like this.
Yeah.
And walked past and went, but it's kind of ugly though, and then turned again and went, but you literally, it was almost like someone had stopped me.
Oh, wow.
Stop.
Yeah.
So I just went in and got it, and it was like a couple of quid, you know. It was an expensive thing, so I just got it, and yeah, so I've got like little bits around me, like my paperweight. Thing, and like my phone case.
Wow.
Thing like that. So there's all little bits of, I notice it as well in times when there's been moments when I've been stressed.
Yes.
And it just turn up as well. I remember I was in a train crash as well.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
And just sitting, and so much had happened in there, because it, like the month before mum had died, and there'd been a lot of just, you know, stuff going on, and then this train crash. I remember sitting in this tunnel like 3 hours later, just going, man, I just need a break, you know. And then this woman just wheeled past, and she just had her suitcase was just like butterflies all over.
Wow.
Like, it couldn't have had any more butterflies on.
Yes.
You tried. And I for a period of time as well going on there, I'd just see butterflies everywhere. It was, it got to the point where it was almost like a joke. Like, I'd see people turn up, they'd have it on their necklace.
Yes.
On their t-shirt, they'd have hair
or clips, tattoos,
yeah, anything like that. So usually when I see it like turning up, and I'll see like a butterfly somewhere, I'll know just to like, it's all right, just calm,
it's reassurance,
calm down a little bit, you know what I mean. You're starting to like stress out a bit, it's like, just look, it's all good, you're surrounded as well. So I know what that's my thing.
That's
my main thing as well that does it. So
yeah,
I know what it is to have your little totem.
That's right. That's exactly it. Yeah. It is your totem, your guidance, you know. So, yes.
So, with every woman that comes on to her conversations, I have some questions, like closing questions that we ask. So,
okay.
The first one that I want to ask you is, what is the best piece of advice a woman has ever given to you?
Right. Well, I will. Actually, it's my mum. Because my mum passed away earlier this year. And the best advice that she's ever said to me, and she didn't quite say in these words, but this is what I feel that she meant, is to be exemplary in everything that you do, to be exemplary and not assume that everyone has the same morals, has the same values as you, but just to be exemplary and just focus on you being exemplary, you know, and to always have those high standards. Do you know those high standards? Because you don't expect everyone to be like you, you know. And she's not saying that I'm the queen or whatever, but you know, just the way I feel like she brought us up is just to be aware of that.
Perfect. And which woman do you think, which female do you think represents higher energetic resonance?
I want to say my mum as well as Maya Angelou, because she passed away in the last few years as well. And she has always been an inspiration. She's always been this wise woman, this sage. And, you know, she just always inspired me. I always look to her quotes. I love her book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. That's my first ever book that I read. By Maya Angelou, and she's just very inspirational and spiritual. And one of her quotes, which really always gets me, one of the quotes that she says is, if you're always trying to be normal, you will never know how amazing you are, which really kind of, you know, hits me right in the heart, because I think that's it. You know, if you always try to be normal, no one's ever going to know. If you always try to fit in, no one's ever going to know. And that's really what the essence of what I'm about, you know, is helping people to really live from that authentic space.
Thank you. And do you have a favorite self-care routine, ritual or practice?
Yes, my ritual every single day is my gratitude practice. It's my thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's not just about thanking your God, your source, your universe for what you have. It's thanking your God, your universe for everything that is coming in that you know and you feel that's coming into your life. So it's like you're affirming. So you're saying thank you for what you have, and then you're saying thank you for what you know you're going to have that hasn't quite come into your reality yet. But that is a very powerful practice, and it's very kind of high frequency, really brings you up every day. But I do it every single day, and it's got to the point now. I've been doing it for a while, but it's actually got to the point now, like I found myself actually this morning saying it, and I'm saying thank you. So I'm doing the thank you for the stuff that is coming in, which hasn't come in yet. But I realized this morning that I'm actually, that some of that stuff has already come in. So I'm going to have to create more stuff. Say thank you for more stuff, you know? And that is how it works, because as you say thank you, you bring it, you draw it into your reality, you know, to the point where you don't realize that it's here, but you're so thankful and grateful for it that, you know, it, like today, I just had a bit of a breakthrough and I thought, oh, wow, thank you. I am so thankful because it is actually here, you know? So, yeah, it's an amazing practice that I would recommend everyone do. I tell all of my clients to do that practice.
Great. Thank you.
That's okay.
And so, Lorraine, what's next for you? What's next in your work and your life?
Okay, well, I am writing a book, which I have been writing for a few years now, and I tell everyone I'm writing this book. But I'm wanting to really get that out there, and I've been trying to do this, but you know, I've been doing it at my own pace because that's how you have to go with your own pace. So I've been doing that. So I'm writing that, hopefully to finish that. And also I'm going to be getting out there more in terms of speaking. So I have been, I've just done a whole e-course for a very popular personal development company here in the UK. It's going to be online. Just to really get my voice out there some more, because I love working with people one-to-one, but I just want to get my message out there more, you know, in addition to working one-to-one with people.
Perfect. And then for people to be able to find you, how can we further connect to you? Where can we find you online?
So my main website is lifestrategist.co.uk, or you can go to lorrainewhite.com.
And that's White, spelled W-H-Y-T-E. Is
that's right. Y-T-E as in white.
Oh, so glad that you did this as well. So I just want to say, just to wrap up, say thank you for coming and being part of Her Conversations. I really appreciate it.
That's
that you've
okay,
come on
you.
And added your voice to the voices of all the amazing women that I've gotten here. I'm just in, you know, when you're saying about saying thank you, it's like, even though I had this idea to bring everything together, just seeing it starting to come together and speak to all the women, and it's their content, it is their perspective that is making it come alive, and I couldn't have even imagined that it was going to be so much fun just to sit here. It's a lot of work, but it's so much fun that it doesn't even.
Yes.
So I just want to say thank you for being part of that.
Thank you so much, Carol. Thank you for the opportunity. You know, it's amazing what you're doing, your work, what you're doing, and it's very inspiring. So, you know, I know it's gonna blow up, so keep doing what you're doing, and I'm so glad to be a part of that, of this rather.
Thank you.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you once again for joining me for another episode of Her Conversations. I truly appreciate you being here. Don't forget to press subscribe so that you can get the newest episode downloaded onto the platform that you choose to listen to Her Conversations. And also, as a favour to me, is to start to spread the word about Her Conversations. It's still in its very early days, but I want to be able to spread the word and bring on new listeners. So if you know of anyone who you think might benefit from hearing any episodes, this one or any previous episodes, please feel free to share them and bring them into the Her Conversations fold. And if you want to stay in contact with me and find out more about what I do, you can find me on my website, which is carolmaywhitick.com, and that's carolmaewhitick.com, or I'll be on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter or on Instagram under Kazmic, that's CAZMICK. So until the next episode, have a great week and speak to you then.